may be seated. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard you, your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. We welcome you today to this memorial service for a man we all dearly loved, Ron Gendry. And family, thank you so much. Pastor David and I appreciate so much the honor to do our dear brother's service today. I want you to know there will be a luncheon after the funeral for the family in the basement. Let's pray together. Father, as we gather together today, with much love, with much care, with much thought, we turn our hearts to you, the one who made heaven and earth, the only creator, the God who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We honor you today. And as we honor Ron, Lord, we couldn't help but honor the God that saved him, the God that helped him stay forth, the God that helped him stand in his faith. And we join our hearts together today, Father, even though many of us will grieve the loss of Ron, his ministry will live on. His legacy will live on. In each one of us, in this sanctuary, in this church, at Alstrom Power, wherever we go, we carry his memory with us forever. We thank you, Father, today. Holy Spirit of the living God, may you be here today to guide and direct the Word of God. May you be here today to comfort the family and friends who grieve. You are the Spirit of truth. Guide us in the truth today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we gather to celebrate Ron's life, we also celebrate the life he had in Christ and the songs that inspired his faith and that he sang in this church with the people celebrating God. We're going to sing Blessed Assurance. Would you stand with me as we sing? The words will be up on the screen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. Not only do we want to honor the God that Ron served, but we want to give honor to his life and the way that he lived this and the influence that he left and the impact upon our lives. And his daughter, Abby, has some remarks she's going to come and share about her dad.
Ron Gendry, husband, father, grandfather, friend. There are countless stories and memories my father left with everyone that had the good fortune to cross paths and spend some time with him. He was a blessing to all. When I think of my father, the main characteristics that come to mind are patience, love, loyalty, and strength. My father showed us all his beliefs with the way he lived his life. He tried to live to the best of his ability with the mindset of acting like Christ. My father treated everyone the same. To me, it is interesting and proof of that by looking at everyone here today and the vast variety of lifestyles. Just because you might not live your life the way my father did or have the same beliefs, he readily accepted everyone and treated us all with the same caring way. He was always willing to drop anything and everything to lend a hand, no matter how it might affect his to-do list or his life. My father was often a quiet man, but if he had something to say, you knew to listen. He never did anything halfway or without thought. He was the most intelligent and steadfast man I will probably ever know, and I hope to live to be as much like him as I can. My fondest memories with him revolve around the things that he loved and taught me to love. Going to gun shows on the weekends with Dad and Uncle John, target practicing, the attempted fishing trips that would inevitably just turn into swimming and hiking, because who wants to just fish? Games at night before going to bed. When I was little, every Saturday morning, he would take me out for donuts, and then we'd go watch a movie or do something fun, just the two of us. He was a stoic man and showed us his faith and strength to the end. He proved that family is the most important priority next to God. At a time when most would become bitter, angry, and turn on their beliefs, he held strong. Instead of taking the easy route and giving in, he instead chose to fight and hold on as long as possible. He handled this entire ordeal with grace and without complaint. He was selfless. He stayed present as much as possible so he could help ensure my mom was going to be taken care of and to help make it easier on all of us. He pushed and held on as long as he could so that others around him could see his testament to his God by his actions throughout this horrific time. In closing, let us not be sad about his passing. He is in a better place and will always be a part of us. Let us in turn celebrate the many great memories he has left with each of us.
Ron was my brother in Christ, my friend, and my example. He possessed a gentle, stable personality. He was probably unaware of the times when God used him in my life, when my emotions and attitude needed correction and polishing. He was one I looked to. I deeply enjoyed our friendship, but because of the depth of his walk with Jesus, more than that, Ron was the type of man I needed as a friend. He sparked me to grow in my walk with God because he was genuine, honorable, and real. There wasn't a smidgen of compromise in his character, and he left a message for all of us who knew him. His pastors are on the stage today before you, but Ron really has the message today. Ron lived out his message with those of us who worked with him, who played with him, and worshiped with him. This is the room that he chose to worship his God on Sunday. Those of us who worship with him are his church family. And he and Carolyn together served and partnered here in the spread of the gospel. If we were to communicate today the many ways this church family and the kingdom of God benefited from Ron and Carolyn's ministry, we would be here for a very, very long time. So our focus will be what Ron showed us all day and every day, the foundation of his life. So I was thinking about what I was going to share today. I remembered a time when I was in Wichita, probably 8 years ago or so. A friend of mine was having back surgery down there, and I got into an elevator to come down to go to the cafeteria, and there were three gentlemen in the elevator with me, well-dressed guys, and they were talking. Undoubtedly, they had had a friend that had passed or someone that they knew well, and they were chatting and talking about his success, how much money he had acquired in life. He was very successful. He built his business from the ground up and ran it as well as Donald Trump. You know, his house and his home that was worth a great deal of money, and I guess it was the summation of those three gentlemen there that day that their friend had been successful in life. Today you won't hear about Ron's portfolio. You won't hear about amassing possessions or acquiring fame, because even though Ron was successful, Ron was a wise man and knew what really mattered in life. And he prepared for his final journey wisely. What Ron valued the most gave him a great life here on earth and a ticket to heaven. Each one of us here today has established a foundation in our lives, and we each live out our lives according to the foundation we have established. Our foundations are either in line with God's will for us, or they're opposed to it. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground at all. Our core beliefs, our actions, our works, our goals, and our aspirations are all related to our view of God, whether we want to admit it or not. Because God is sovereign in all things, what you believe about God today is the most important thing about you. Jesus had some things to say about building a foundation. I'd like to read that for you out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on a solid rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house, it fell, and great was its fall. And in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 48, Jesus talks about the value of the foundation and the kingdom. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it is filled, they threw it up on the beach and sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad fish they threw away." The last visit I had with Ron established the way I will always remember him. I read from the last half of the 8th chapter of Romans, which I believe is one of the most powerful and triumphal places in the Bible for any believer in Jesus. It deals with the total triumph of the faith of a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, just to sum it up a little bit, he writes in the 8th chapter of Romans, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ron and I discussed this passage of Scripture very joyfully, and we rejoiced and had a time of prayer and worship there after I read that. And then Ron looked at me and said, "My life is totally in the hands of God. And that's a good place to be." I'd like to read for you what we call a My Story. Here at Concordia Wesleyan, when people visit the church or come to the church and want to be a part of the church or be baptized, we always have them write out what we call a My Story. It deals with three areas: what my life was like before I met Christ, events and people that helped me find Christ, and how my life is different now. I'd like to read that for you. Ron did this. He says, "My childhood years were not spent in a surreal Christian environment at home. Sundays were mostly for visiting my grandma Myers and celebrating Kansas. As a dedicated fisherman, my dad loved to go fishing in the Big Blue River behind grandma's house, so we spent lots of weekends on Sundays there. Today, that is all part of Tuttle Creek Lake. My mom had a Methodist background and would encourage my brother and me to live a good Christian life, but my dad was unwilling to have anything to do with the church. His parents were totally against any religion, and so was he. With that background, I grew up thinking we had a good home, not knowing that I was totally lost. In our rural Bala, Kansas grade school, my class consisted of four classmates, some five once in a while. One of them came from a family that went to church regularly. When we got to seventh or eighth grade, he would invite me to go with them to their Sunday school evening service. Occasionally, neither dad nor mom thought much of this family. They thought they were just hypocrites, but they did let me go a few times. At that point, I was only to get out of the house and see what kind of mischief I could get into. That was my motive. We had to move in 1965 due to the expansion of Fort Riley. I then had to attend Clay County High School since we'd rented that pretty much ended my conflict with Christians. In high school, I started out good, but turned into a rowdy my junior and senior years. My grades went down, but I still graduated. I joined the Army in 1969 to avoid the draft and ended up in Vietnam as a helicopter mechanic and crew chief. After serving 1 year there, I got stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas. Not knowing Christ, my typical military lifestyle was not good. I even became agnostic towards Christians at times. I know now that at that point I was searching for something, just didn't know what it was. Events and people that changed me helped me find Christ. While I was still at Fort Riley, we did a little fly-in helicopter display with our UH-H1 Hueys at the Concordia Airport in the summer of 1971. I believe it was the county fair time. An Army buddy of mine, Les Frazier, met a lady there that he liked and drove back to see her a time or two. However, he had a problem with his transportation. His old 1958 Ford was not dependable and frequently overheated. He needed to ride to Concordia to conned me into taking him. He said this lady friend would arrange a double date for us if I would bring him. I really didn't want to go, but we went, and I was introduced to my date, who was equally unexcited about the whole blind date idea. Sounds familiar. We both survived it, though, and even continued to date. I'm so thankful that I took Les back to Concordia that night, because later on in our relationship, that beautiful young lady later led me to Christ and then became my wife in 1973, and we're still together today. How my life is different now. Since the time I gave my life to the Lord, things have not always been perfect, but God has been and always will be. He is sovereign in all things. It still boggles my brain that Christ was willing to suffer and die on the cross for just one sinner, even me. He loves every one of us so much that he was willing to do that long before any of us. That is real grace. God's grace, and all we have to do is recognize and repent of our sin and ask him to come and save our lives. So how has my life changed? I think the biggest change was to see how many souls were lost and dying, not knowing Christ, and love them. Before, I was just one of them, but Christ pulled me out when I accepted him as my personal Savior. Now my desire is to do what I can do to lead others to Christ, beginning with living a good example. The term, "what would Jesus do," is never out of line, and I have tried to practice that, although I still fall at times, but just knowing Christ is always there to forgive me once again when I repent is such a blessing. I continue to count each new day as a blessing from God.
It will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing inside. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. Only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees, or will I fall? Forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine
You know, when we leave here today, we can. There was so much more that was unsaid. But I have the unique privilege today of sharing what was on Ron's heart in his final days. The scripture tells us that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We really don't know what Ron's experience is today. We just know that it is beyond our comprehension and it is beyond our ability to conceive within our hearts or to think in our minds. But Ron's concern really wasn't about him. His concern was about each of us. I can only imagine it's an inspirational song about heaven, and we can all have that assurance when our sins are forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But Ron, at a very early age on this age in the season of getting this diagnosis, that it sounded like his days on earth were very few, very quickly realized it was an opportunity. In fact, one of the phrases that he repeated often in my presence was, "Every day is a gift." It was an opportunity because that's exactly how Ron looked at it. You know, when you are facing death in the very near future, the values you hold, the love that you share, the faith that you possess becomes even more defined. Conversations take on a whole new meaning. And not just the content of those conversations, but the sound of one's voice, the touch of a hand, the look in their eye, the embrace. They all speak of the preciousness of that moment and the seriousness with which we ought to take this life. In our visits over the past couple months, Ron and I talked about our families and the church, the Word of God, his thoughts and concerns, and we talked about this day, the day of his funeral. We not only talked about his passing from this temporary life into eternity, but we talked about what he wanted people to know who gathered at this time to remember his life and what he wanted each of you to know for yourselves. Honestly, he was more concerned about that than he was himself. He said, as Pastor Bob mentioned, "My life is in God's hand," and he wanted each of us to know for ourselves that your life was in his hands as well. He told me that although he had had that My Story form for some time, had it in a file, he had never filled it out. But he says, I want to make sure that I get to that. And then he added this. He said, very few people get to write the final chapter of their story because they don't know they're living in the final chapter. And he says, I get to write the last chapter. Carolyn mentioned early on Thursday morning after I arrived, after Ron had gone into eternity, that the passage of Scripture that she would like to share this morning was out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The scripture gives us comfort to those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you have not yet embraced the life of Christ in your life, it was Ron's prayer, and it is our hope today, that you will make that step toward God. Here's what that passage of scripture says. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope." Now, the Bible tells us that all of us, at one point in our life, lived in this world apart from Christ. And Ephesians 2:12 tells us that when we were apart from Christ, we were in this world without God and without hope. The scripture tells us that death is an enemy. We weren't created to die. We are created by an eternal God to live for eternity. And death came when man rebelled against God. Man's rebellion is what sin is. And it separated him from God. And the Bible says that death came as a result of sin and that death is an enemy. What death is the separation of the body from the spirit. And we grieve, but the scripture says we have hope because we know Christ. We celebrate Ron's life because of who he was and that his pain and sorrow is over. We know that he is in heaven. His faith has been made sight. And yet we're allowed to grieve. It's okay to cry. It's okay to miss Ron. God gives us permission for that. And for everyone that is grieving today, it gives testimony to the fact that Ron Gendry's life mattered. It mattered to you. He influenced you. He spoke into your life. He is missed by you. And even if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and honestly, you're not even sure the Bible is true, or if there is a God, or you might have questions on if there is a God, why would he let something like this happen to such a good man? Even if you're there today, there are two things that you cannot deny today. The first thing you cannot deny is that Ron believed in God and that he believed in Jesus Christ was the forgiver of his sins. And he believed in the forgiveness of his sins. And that when he died, he believed he would go to heaven. And you cannot deny that those beliefs changed the way that he lived his life. He lived an inspiring life in large part because of those beliefs. It cannot be denied. Secondly, if you are sad today, if you are grieving in your heart, if your eyes have welled up in tears as a result of Ron's passing, or if you wondered if what he believed was true, you cannot deny either that life matters. And if life matters, and if his life mattered to you, you should be asking yourself, why is it that his life mattered? And the Bible gives us a clear answer. It says that we were created from the heart of God. We were created and made with purpose and by God's design. We weren't just created for a period of time in life. We were created for eternity. And that theme runs throughout the Bible. Now, we live in a world that would have us believe that we were not created for any purpose or by any particular design. That life is random, it's random mutations and adaptations that eventually evolved into what we are today. And when we die, that's it. No eternity, no future, we simply return to the earth. That is life without the Spirit. Simply put, I cast it this way. If life has no meaning or purpose in its beginning, and if life has no meaning or purpose in its ending, what would ever make us believe that what we do in between those two points in life matters in life? And yet you know that it does. You are here today because life matters. If something had no purpose in its beginning, if it has no purpose at its end, then what would ever have us believe that our life, that anyone's life matters? And yet we know it does. And the Bible tells us that God set eternity in the hearts of man. This is where our hope comes from. The God who always was, always is, and always will be. And this God, when we rebelled in our hearts, when we missed the target, when we separated ourselves from God through sin, he sent and he set into motion a plan to redeem us because each one of us matter to God. In fact, the scripture that goes on to say into verse 14, not only that those that know Christ don't grieve as those who have no hope, but why? What is that hope? Since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. You see, Jesus came to earth to rescue us from our sins. The angel came to Mary and it said, his name will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That phrase that Ron mentioned often, every day is a gift. In the first weeks of June, Ron was close to being with Jesus. He was longing to be in worship with his church family. Actually, he made it several Sundays and even made it to his Life Connection class and encouraged so much of us. He didn't do that so he could check his religious boxes and somehow earn the favor of a God. He did it because he already knew he had the assurance of forgiveness of sins, and he knew every day was a gift, and the best gift he received in this life was the hope of heaven and the forgiveness of sins. And in those final days, he reached out to others. He invited you in to come by for visits, and he continued to live out his faith. And in his final week, he was ready to start living out the fullness of God's gift in heaven. In fact, he told me, "I'm ready to go." He knew his departure from this life was near. And that very day in that room, we prayed for God's grace in his life. But we also prayed together that God's grace would be lived out in your lives today. That you would live in the truth of God's word. And that you would make the decision that one day he made over 40 years ago to ask Jesus Christ to forgive him of his sins. Scripture tells us, it goes on, "We tell you directly from the Lord that we who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus, we will always be with the Lord forever. So, encourage each other with these words." Ron wanted you to be encouraged with those words today. He encouraged himself with those words and was thankful that he was conned by a friend to come to Concordia on a set-up date that he didn't want, but was so glad he came. For it was on that trip that he met Carolyn, as you know, and through that friendship, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Carolyn shared with me some of the private letters and writings that Ron wrote to them while they were dating. And he talked about Christ and the man he wanted Christ to make him to be. I once heard a good definition of success is this, that those that know you best love and respect you the most. We've heard from Ron today. We've heard from his daughter. Many of you will share your words of memories and comfort and encouragement. But I think we all realize that the one that knew Ron the best was his wife, Carolyn. And we'll close this service today in her words of tribute to her husband. "It is hard to pay tribute to Ron without first paying tribute to the awesome God that created him. Without God's protection upon Ron and God's leading and intervention in both of our lives, I would never have been blessed with those years with my hubby. Also, if it wasn't for our commitment to God and each other, we possibly would not have been together at this point. Ron was a wonderful husband, friend, father, and grandfather. I am thankful and blessed to have known him for nearly 43 years and being married for 41 of those years. He was kind, considerate, and loving. And even during our most difficult times, he was very responsible and could be counted on to do his very best no matter what the task. He seldom made any rash decisions and more than likely did research when he had questions. I know that Jesus is our rock, but I also considered Ron to be my rock. He was so very dependable and very solid. He was willing to listen, to consider, and to change his mind if you felt you proved your point. I considered him to be very wise and intelligent. He often helped me to keep my focus on the Lord. He supported me in most everything I tried to accomplish, even if he wasn't really excited about me doing it. He was extremely patient with everyone. Ron was my second best friend, and I will miss him greatly. But I know he is waiting for me in heaven. My best friend, Jesus, is still with me and is in guiding me to new adventures with him." And Ron and Carolyn talked about this, and as you came in today and received the folder, there's a track that says A Bridge to Life. And in there, there are scriptures of how you can know. This is not Ron's words. It's not the Wesleyan Church's words. These are words from the Bible, how you can know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In honor of his memory today, I want to encourage you that today, before you go to sleep, you take time to read through that pamphlet. Say, God, if this is real, I'm going to read through that. And I want you, I just want to draw your attention to the end. It says here at the end, everyone must decide individually whether to receive Christ. That's why Ron wanted us to give a clear gospel message, salvation message today. He lived his life that way. My own family is the benefit of his life, as he's taught many of my children in Sunday school. How he loved them, how he remembered them, how he prayed for them. And you are a recipient of his influence today as well too. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing How Great Thou Art. It shares the story of God's great love for us and his design in the universe, but also his design to restore a relationship for us as we sing How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great. God his Son not sparing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou. Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, Father, we thank you that your word tells us that you are close to the brokenhearted. Father, thank you for caring. Thank you for meeting us in our pain and grief. And thank you for a hope that is stronger than death. Father, continue to be very near to Carolyn and her family. Lord, help us to take the words that Ron would have us to dwell upon to heart. Perhaps there are some here today that said, I didn't expect this today, and yet something is tugging on my heart. Lord, reassure them today. It's not their goodness. It's not their religious activity. Nothing could keep them from your love. Nothing that they've done or in anything that they didn't do. But it was by simply by accepting Jesus' death in our place on the cross and believing that our sins were buried with him and if Jesus rose on the third day, we will have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. And then, Lord, you give us the power to live for you. Father, through the Holy Spirit, continue to do your work today. Be with the rest of the activities today, the conversations, the meal that we'll partake of in just a few moments. But Lord, now we also want to just take time in this service to thank you for Ron and all that he is, all that he spoke about, but also for his service on America's behalf. And today, we honor that in Christ's name. Amen.